Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Self-Evident. I am your host, Alyssa. And today there's a lot of conversation surrounding Kamala Harris's policies. Last week, we talked about some of her abortion policies near the end of the episode. But this week, I really want to focus on her economic policies. So we are going to be taking a bit of a deep dive into different economic principles. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about an amazing event that is coming up. On September 25th in St. Charles, Illinois, there will be a free movie screening of a movie based upon the best-selling book, Letter to the American Church. The American Church are at the same crossroads that the German Church was during the time of Hitler. And this movie will educate and inspire God's people in a time where we need it the most. You are not going to want to miss this one-time free movie screening of Letter to the American Church. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more. That's illinoisfamily.org/events. Like I said in the introduction, we are going to get into some of Kamala Harris's economic policies. Everyone feels the rising cost of groceries, gas, the housing market, rent, you name it. Everything is highly expensive. And Kamala Harris, like every other presidential candidate, has proposed policies to fix this for the American people. Now, Kamala Harris's proposed policies is called A New Way Forward. And you can find these policies at kamalaharris.com/issues. I really encourage you to read these for yourself and come to your own conclusions. Her first proposal is to cut taxes for middle-class Americans. And the way that I want to focus on that today is one of her proposals is that no one earning over $400,000 per year will pay more in taxes. So what she's trying to do is she's trying to break up the tax system so that those who make under $400,000 per year pay less in taxes, and those who make over that amount pay more. And what's the issue? Economically, there's a lot that I can go into on why this is an issue, but basically, I want to stick to one key principle, that it is the wealthy that actually help the middle class and the poor, because it is those who own wealthy businesses. It's those people that can't afford to have employees, to pay those employees well, to give those employees good benefits. And so what this tax bracket system would do is it would actually penalize people for making more money. And therefore, businesses who make more money would be less incentivized to hire more people because they need to compensate for the extra money that they are going to be paying to the federal government in taxes. And that's the issue I want to hone in on here, because like I said, there's a lot that I can say, there's a lot of economic mud that we can go into, but for your sake, I don't want to go into all of that today. The main issue I want to hone in on is that people who are able to build strong, successful businesses actually aid the poverty crisis. They actually aid people because, like I said, they are the ones that are employing people. Poor people do not employ rich people. It's rich people who employ poor people. And of course, there are ethical issues that we run into when we start to take on employees. Scripture gives us very high standards on how we treat our employees. But at the same time, it is the rich that hire the poor, and that actually aids economies. It's good to incentivize businesses to grow. It's good to incentivize businesses to make more money and to have more capital and to have more profit because it aids people who struggle in getting better jobs and getting better benefits. These things are good. These things help our economies grow. So Kamala Harris's policy on penalizing people, that's essentially what this is. It's not fair. There isn't a fair percentage across the board. She is taking percentages away from people who make less and giving them to people who make more. She's actually penalizing big businesses from hiring more employees, from giving better benefits. These policies, these economic policies, have very real impact on the poor that she claims she wants to help. And I just want that to sink in, that whenever someone says this is going to help the economy in some way, I really want you to critically think through the policy. What does it actually mean? How do economies actually work? And across the board in healthy economies, what we see is that we see businesses that are actually incentivized by fair government treatment of becoming more and more wealthy because it aids people who are in poverty. It aids the middle class. So that is the issue with this particular economic policy. And her other economic policy has more impact also on middle class Americans. And that is her policy on rent and home ownership. Kamala Harris's policy on rent and home ownership starts off with the very real and very true statement that rent is very expensive nowadays. Home ownership is less attainable because of property taxes, because of just the housing market in general, because of inflation. Like I said previously, each presidential candidate has different proposals to fix economic issues. When it comes to fixing the housing market, this is Vice President Harris's proposal. Quote, Vice President Harris has put forward a comprehensive plan to build 3 million more rental units and homes that are affordable to end the national housing supply crisis in her first term. Now, at the outset, this might look positive that, oh, we're just going to be building more homes. The issue is not there aren't enough homes. In fact, there are a lot of homes that are for sale. If you look at the market, there are a lot of homes. The issue is that the homes are not affordable. And what you need to ask yourself is, why are the homes not affordable? Like I said, it's not because there aren't enough of them. That's not the issue. The issue is that the cost of living is higher. Property taxes are higher, especially in Democrat-run states, in Democrat-run cities, in Democrat-run counties. Property taxes are higher. Income tax in general is pretty high. You need to look at the root problem. That it's not that we have a lack of homes, it's that the homes are too expensive. And the issue to fixing that is not to make more homes. That's actually the issue with printing more money. It's the same principle. The issue is not that we don't have enough money, so you have to print more. The issue when it comes to homes is that the homes are too expensive. And the reason that the homes are too expensive is because the cost of living is too high. And when we look at the cost of living, a lot of our money goes to federal taxes. A lot of our money goes to federal spending. So the issue, Kamala, is not that we have too few apartments available or too few homes available. It's that we are being taxed too much. That's the issue. So creating more homes, more apartments is not going to fix anything because the cost of living has not changed at all. In addition to this, quote, Vice President Harris will provide first-time home buyers with up to $25,000 to help them with their down payments, with more generous support for first-generation homeowners. Now, why is this an issue? At the outset, oh, great, free money. But no, this is actually a very, very big issue because you could have a first-generation home buyer who makes over $500,000. And yet their parents were maybe immigrants and never purchased a home. And yet they're being given $25,000. And then you have a family that makes maybe $60,000 a year. And yet their parents have homes and they're not first time home buyers. So they don't get this money. So now you're taking money out of the pocket of the people that are struggling to get by and putting money in the pocket of people that can afford to buy a home without government assistance. This isn't an equal shot for people who are trying to buy homes. And in addition to this, who is paying for this? $25,000 for each new home buyer. Who is paying for this? It's the taxpayers. Whenever there is a promise of government assistance, it's always the taxpayers that bear the brunt of that. Always, every time. That is where the government gets their money. They get it from our taxes. And so when this policy is implemented, do you think that your taxes are going to go up or go down? Going back to the housing crisis that we're facing and rent being really high, do you actually think that just building more homes is going to fix this? Because if we have this $25,000 per new homeowner implemented, that is going to necessitate that our taxes are higher. Our cost of living is going to rise, and we're still going to be facing the same housing crisis that we're in right now. When it comes to these policies, you really need to critically think, who is paying for this? What does this actually mean? What will this actually do? Paul Mueller, a senior research fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research, made a really important note when it comes to these policies. Quote, When you subsidize people's ability to buy things, whether that's higher education or healthcare, and when we give people money in the form of loans or grants or scholarships to do that, what it does is boost demand. And so what we see over time in both of those areas is rising cost. The cost of higher education has grown much faster than everything else in the economy. The rate of increase for healthcare has increased very rapidly. And so this $25,000 credit for first-time homebuyers, while it sounds nice, it's actually going to continue to put upward pressure on the price of housing overall, end quote. The $25,000 tax credit to first-time homebuyers is not going to fix anything, to summarize Mueller's point. It's actually going to make the housing market crisis worse, because what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to raise taxes, and people are going to be facing the same issue that they have already. This is going to make inflation worse. Like I said previously, this is going to make the cost of living higher. And so this proposal is actually going to make the housing market worse, not better. And when we look at Kamala Harris's policies on both the housing market and rent and the cost of living in general, her policies are going to make those realities for middle-class Americans worse, not better. In the next half, I want to briefly cover her economic policies on small businesses and healthcare. But before I get into that, I want to tell you about an upcoming event next year in March. Marriage and family is under attack in our nation and in our states, which is why the 2025 Worldview Conference is focusing on the high calling of marriage and family. And this upcoming event, we are featuring Dr. Brad Wilcox and Scott Phelps. Dr. Brad Wilcox is the professor of sociology and director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. Scott Phelps is the founder and executive director of the Abstinence and Marriage Education Partnership. And their sessions that are going to be included in this event are going to be very encouraging for us as we get back to what scripture says about marriage and family, the high calling that it is, and what we as a culture can do to change the tides. You are not going to want to miss the event. It is $15 per person. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more and register. That's illinoisfamily.org/events. Like I said in the last half, this half I want to get into Kamala Harris's economic policies on small business and healthcare. And like I said previously, these are really, really big topics that I could do a series on each one of her policies. But for sake of time and energy, I'm going to briefly discuss them. Kamala Harris's New Way Forward economic policies includes a statement on dedication to small businesses. And it reads like this, quote, "She," that is Kamala Harris, "has led the Biden-Harris administration's efforts to increase access to capital for small businesses and bring venture capital to parts of middle America that have for too long been overlooked, driving a record 19 million new business applications, tripling the Small Business Administration's lending to Black-owned businesses, and more than doubling small-dollar lending to Latino and woman-owned businesses. She has also championed expanding federal contracts for minority-owned small businesses." I highlighted one word while I read that, and that was the word lending. Again, whenever we look at economic policies, we need to ask the question, what does it actually mean? What does it actually do? And more than that, who is paying for it? At the end of the day, you, taxpayer, are paying for these things. She is using your taxpayer dollars. And when we look at the best interest of a free market society, what we see is that in a free market, the market dictates the success of a business. My husband is a business owner, so we know this very well, that in order for a business to be successful, you need to market yourself towards a need of the population. You need to make yourself indispensable in order to be successful. This is the beauty of the free market, because we don't have a government telling us what is needed, what is not needed, what will be successful, what will not be successful. We have the ability as free market business owners to say, hey, I see a need in the population. I have a way to fix it. I'm going to market myself. And yet what this policy is saying is that it's actually the government that is going to decide which businesses succeed and which businesses fail, because we see that she is favoring minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, Latino, Black-owned businesses, which I'm not saying there's anything against those categories of people owning businesses. That's actually a good thing. However, you cannot have a free market society and a government that is favoring a certain market. It doesn't work well. In addition to this, like I said previously, it is the government that is lending these businesses money to be successful. So she is using your taxpayer dollars to fund the success of businesses that maybe a free market wouldn't want. Maybe these businesses, if they were left up to the population, would not succeed because they don't provide a certain product or necessity that the population at large would want. And that's a good thing. Those are good things about a market because it gives businesses freedom to decide and see what does the population actually want? What would be best for me to market? And so when you have a government that is determining which businesses will receive federal aid, like I said previously, number one, it's not the government that is giving them the money, it's the taxpayer. And number two, it's very unhealthy for a free market. It's actually very dangerous for a free market to have the government stepping in and deciding which businesses receive better success. If you want, as a business owner, your business to succeed, it is in your best interest to oppose policies that propose the idea of government intervention in the market. It is in your best interest to oppose taxpayer-funded projects to promote different businesses. It is in your best interest to allow the population to be the free market. That is in your best interest as a business owner. And so Kamala Harris's policy, while it promises prosperity, is not going to deliver on that promise. The last policy that I want to get into, and like I said, I'm trying to keep this as brief and simple as possible because these issues are very deep issues. And like I said, I can do an entire series on each one of these. But like I said, for sake of time and energy, I'm just discussing these briefly. The last one I want to discuss is her policy on healthcare. She promises, Kamala Harris does, to bring down the cost of drugs and healthcare in general. Quote, just as she did as vice president, she will take on big pharma to lower drug prices and cap insulin costs, not just for seniors, but for all Americans. If you follow us on social media at IllinoisFamily.org or Self Evident Podcast, you will have seen that I did a video on price capping. Because price capping is something that Kamala Harris has promised for grocery prices as well. So for example, let's say the price cap on a pound of potatoes is 50 cents. Potatoes can only be sold at maximum 50 cents per pound, which means that potatoes, sure, are going to be cheaper to afford, which means that more and more people are going to have a demand for potatoes. However, the farmer that farms the potatoes still has the same amount of taxes, still has the same amount of property taxes, still has the same amount of income tax. So there's more demand on the farmer to produce more potatoes, but he cannot afford to buy more plots of land to farm more potatoes. So what does that cause? That causes a food shortage. And this has actually, this practice of price capping has been practiced in socialist countries like Venezuela, like North Korea, like China. And it does not go well. If you look at their food economy, they struggle a lot, especially Venezuela. And so whenever you see a promise of a price cap, your red flags and your warning signs should be blaring. Price capping anything harms the free market. So she's promising price caps on insulin costs. She's also promising, quote, making affordable health care a right, not a privilege, by expanding and strengthening the Affordable Care Act. What this Affordable Care Act did is it, for example, made more screenings covered by your insurance, etc. This was Obamacare and it was implemented in 2010. And yet it did not deliver on its promises. It promised more affordable health care, but what people actually found that because there was more coverage on different items in health care, their premium cost for their coverage plan went up. Healthcare did not decrease, it increased. In addition to this, taxes were actually raised during this period to compensate for how expensive it was to implement Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. So what we found was Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, it promised lower health care, but what did we find? No, premiums went up, health care went up, taxes went up, cost of living went up. So when Trump took office in 2016 and he eliminated the Affordable Care Act, what we actually saw was taxes went down, was the cost of coverage went down. And so Kamala Harris, your warning bells should be going off, is promising to re-implement Obamacare that has already failed. It had 6 years to be tried and it failed. It failed to deliver on its promises. It failed the American people. People ran into a lot of issue with their coverage in general. Seniors especially ran into a lot of issues with their coverage under the Affordable Care Act. And like I said already, whenever you have someone promising a specific policy that is going to make the economy better, that is going to make your cost of living lighter, that is going to make your quality of life better, you really need to stop and think, what does this policy actually say behind all the flowery language, behind all the promises, and what will it actually do? In addition to this, who is paying for it? When the Affordable Care Act was implemented, you, taxpayer, had to bear the brunt of that because they had to raise taxes to cover the cost of the premiums. Taxpayers, people in this country, always bear the brunt of government spending policies. And all of Kamala Harris's policies, I hope you've seen this throughout this episode, all of her policies center around the idea of government spending, taxpayer spending, higher taxes, higher cost of living. Kamala Harris's economic policies are not going to make your cost of living lower. They are not going to make your quality of life better. They are not going to make you better able to afford a home or afford rent. They are not going to make it better able to afford groceries or gas. In fact, her policies are going to do the exact opposite. And so I hope that throughout this episode, you have been able to see very briefly. Again, I could go on and on about each dissection and each little thing in these policies that is incorrect, but I hope you see the big picture. That Kamala Harris's policies promise prosperity, and yet they equal government spending. They equal taxpayer spending. They equal more and more budgeting. What we need as an economy, we need policies that promote small businesses. We need policies that incentivize businesses to employ more people, incentivized action. We need lower taxes. We need lower cost of living. In conclusion, I just want to re-emphasize that whenever we look at candidates and their promises for the American people on making our lives better, on making our cost of living lower, we really need to just observe their policies. We need to look at what do they actually say, what do they actually mean, and what will they actually do. And when we look at Kamala Harris's proposed policies on better economic freedom, better economic prosperity, what we see is that she promises prosperity, but it's actually going to make us more impoverished. It's going to make our cost of living higher. Our taxes are going to be raised. Houses are still going to be really expensive. Groceries are still going to be expensive. Gas is still going to be expensive. So when we look at these policies, we really need to critically think, what kind of future do I want for me? What kind of future do I want for my children and my grandchildren? And me personally, I want a future where cost of living is lower. I want lower taxes. I want more financial freedom with my family. And so I hope that you're able to see that this election and that this episode was really enlightening and really helpful for you to be able to think through these promises that the Harris administration is proposing. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was helpful for you. I hope it was insightful to be able to think through these different policies. Until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.